Welcome to Roguecast, the official podcast of Rogues Gallery on Round Rock, where we talk about games, comics, and other stuff on our pop cultural radar. I'm Randy.
I'm Nick.
This is Dave.
And let's go to the show for this week. This is the Roguecast for Wednesday, February 4th, and despite that intro you just heard, Dave's not with us this week.
That's true. He's not.
He's taking a vacation.
The ghost of Dave is here.
The ghost of Dave is here. He will occasionally make spooky noises and rattle chains.
Yeah, but he won't say anything.
No. So it's just me and Nick this week, and Dave is missing a hell of a comics week.
God, yeah. I mean, to pick one week to I know, granted, he needs a vacation sure. Once in
yeah,
a while.
Yeah.
Who doesn't? But to pick this week?
Yeah, it's a good week for comics.
It really is.
We'll be talking a lot about that in the second part of the show, but first we have all kinds of news and updates and that kind of thing. First update, we have finally moved into the latter part of the 20th century, I guess. We've got Instagram.
Yes. Oh, right. We're a little bit behind the times on that.
That's right. We've been on Facebook and Twitter. Don't get on us. But we finally have an Instagram feed. It is slowly but surely filling with stuff. If you guys have suggestions for things we should put on our Instagram feed, let us know. But it is Rogues Gallery TX on Instagram.
It is a view into the mind of the people who work at Rogues Gallery.
Yes. But you should look at it anyway.
Yes.
So that's up. And then, as always, we'll talk about our ladies' night stuff. But we're also running our inventory sale, yearly a thing.
That's a big thing. There's a lot of great gems on that.
There's
table.
Some good stuff. If you come in, ask me or Dave or Nick, like, what is the stuff that's good on here? Because there's some good stuff in there.
Because basically, how our inventory works, our inventory sale works, is it starts at 35% off.
Yeah, and then you get
bonus damage. People, you roll 2d6. So 2d6 dice to add
right.
more percentage off.
So it combines two of people's favorite things, sales and gambling.
That's true.
So you'll get anywhere from 37 to 47% off on graphic novels, board games, role-playing game stuff. There's some t-shirts. Basically stuff that for us hasn't sold in the last couple of years, and we're just sort of taking the tax write-off. It is heartbreaking sometimes to let go of books that we all loved and bought at full price. But
here's a question. I don't know if this is easy because I don't know if you remember exactly what's on the table, but what is your one thing on there that you think people should, that lucky someone should get?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head. All I know is that someone bought the Coffin hardcover yesterday, and that was a good buy.
I would say if you want the Rocketeer collection.
Oh, the Rocketeer hardcover's on there, yeah.
That's heartbreaking. There's also some cool Thanos Infinity Gauntlet t-shirts.
There's the Sword hardcover collection by the Lunar Brothers. There's some good stuff on that table. Lunar Brothers brings us to Reading with Rogues, which is going to take place in about a week.
Nice segue.
Thank you. It's going to be on Tuesday the 10th. It's going to be over at BJ's Brewhouse up here in Round Rock. And we are discussing Alex Plus Ada, the AI romance thriller kind of thing.
Existential.
Yeah.
It's more than just a romance.
It's a great book. Right now you can get it at 15% off. You can get volume one and come out and talk with us about it. All our details are on Facebook and on our website. The night before that, Monday the 9th, Teal will be running our ladies' night over at the Outback Steakhouse right across the street from us. And then the next week, on the 16th, we'll be doing, at BJ's Brewhouse, the Pandemic, Gaming with Rogues, the cooperative game where you're trying to stop diseases from taking over the world.
If you've never played Pandemic, come out and join us. It's probably...
It's so much fun.
Well, I have to say, we like a lot of different games. We've talked about it.
Yeah.
I think this one is probably our favorite game.
It is probably my favorite game. I love Pandemic.
There's just so much that's cool about it.
It was the first cooperative game I ever played.
It's true. It was the first cooperative game that I played, too. And it's such a unique mechanic. If you haven't experienced it, you should make it a point to come out.
Yes, indeed. And all the details on all that is on our website and our Facebook. We got a board game in this week that we've been wanting since Christmas.
Oh, that's right.
We got Dead of Winter back in, which is a zombie survival game set in a sort of Arctic environment.
Right. I remember this, you know, coming in very briefly, and I didn't even have a chance to read the blurb
on
the back.
It was gone. We got one. Our distributor didn't get a full allotment. All we got was the one copy.
Calls afterwards, though.
Oh, yeah. Every week.
But we have it on shelf again.
Yes.
It looks great.
And it was a lot of my gamer friends have declared it one of the best games of 2014. So I have not had a chance to play it yet, but it looks really good. And if you've been waiting for it, we have it. We're also, as always, we're going to be co-sponsoring Staple with some other shops in town and some other people. And the interviews are starting to go up on the Staple blog.
Yeah, there was a really good one with
Kate Leth.
That's right.
Yeah. And our own Dave Farabee has done one with Jess Fink, who is one of the guests this year, and that'll be going up. So go over to the Staple blog, check it out. Look at the amazing lineup of guests this year.
This is what year of Staple?
This is 11.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Staple is always fun to go to. Just really good environment to talk with some of the just creators in general. Yeah. You get to really spend one-on-one time with them.
You'll find local people who are doing really awesome stuff. Last year, I bought a fantasy novel from a guy from Dallas or Houston that my daughter just devoured.
Yeah.
I didn't mean she ate it. She read it really quickly.
Oh, really? I thought she might have eaten it.
Well, she might have eaten. I don't know what happened to it. but that is that's actually the first weekend in March. It's Saturday and Sunday that weekend, and we'll be out there helping out with one of the people we're bringing in. Definitely check that out, and you can check out all the interviews and lead up to it over on the Staple blog, which is staple-austin.org.
Yep.
Then we'll get into the news.
All right.
And stuff we've been seeing in our feeds.
True. What have we been seeing? Other than we just saw... Here's a little bit of a gripe.
Yes.
We saw a teaser...
Teaser for a teaser?
Teaser for a teaser trailer that comes out tomorrow.
Yeah.
And dear God, it's the Daredevil, which we're finally going to get a trailer tomorrow for the Netflix series, which is awesome.
Yeah, looking forward to the teaser.
But did we really need this 15-second teaser?
The teaser for the teaser is literally Daredevil in costume. He is in costume while he's... Year one type costume.
Ninja costume.
Walking down a hallway, going in a door, and then the Daredevil logo pops up. Spoilers for the teaser of the teaser.
I mean, I don't know if... I mean, I had to click on it because it's Daredevil.
Yeah, sure, you had to know.
It's Netflix, and I had to know. But did we need it?
But who teases a teaser?
It's crazy.
The answer now is everyone.
Yeah, I guess.
Information is definitely out there. You know, we're still on our sort of non-spoiler crusade as much as possible. Although, we're breaking that a little bit because there was a leak related to the Teen Titans TV show.
Right.
So skip ahead about a minute if you don't want to hear this, but we now know who not the actors, but the characters are supposed to be if the script is to be believed. And if it's be believed, the team is Nightwing, Starfire, and Raven, but no Cyborg and Beast Boy.
No, Cyborg and Beast Boy, which is a little bit odd. And who they replaced them
instead with... Instead they're doing Hawk and Dove. Which is interesting. I'm mostly happy because it means Nightwing's in it.
Yeah, no, that's true. And is this Hank Hall?
I assume this
it's the brother and then the female.
And Dawn Granger. Right? I assume so, yes.
And this is CBS or is
No, it's TNT.
That's right, it's TNT.
Yeah.
Man, my DC shows are going to be just spread out over so many different networks.
My hope is that, like the CW shows and CBS, they've already said that they plan to have Supergirl in continuity with Flash and Green and Arrow. And my hope is that Teen Titans will be the same way.
Is Greg Berlanti involved in this TNT?
I don't know. He's almost got to be.
I mean, please?
Yeah.
Just bring over Nightwing into Arrow a couple times. And
there was also some casting news for a.k.a. Jessica Jones.
Right, there's two bits.
Yeah, we talked last week about David Tennant.
Yeah.
This week they have cast Rachel Taylor, who's an actress I don't really know.
Now, she's been in a few things, but nothing that was sort of on my radar.
Yeah, but she is going to be playing Patsy Walker, a.k.a. Hellcat, which is a great addition to the Jessica Jones universe.
Awesome. Well, we've seen her being a great supporting character in Charles Soule's She-Hulk.
Yeah, and I'm hoping for the same kind of thing here.
Oh, God, I would love to see that.
They also cast Carrie Ann Moss of The Matrix in a role we don't know, in a powerful ally role.
Right.
And people are speculating, again, skip over if you don't want to hear speculation, but they're speculating that it might be Jessica Drew.
Right. That's what I've heard.
Which I think would be interesting.
It's an interesting call. I don't know quite who else she could be playing.
I don't either. I mean, people said Carol Danvers. I don't think they introduced Carol Danvers in the TV-verse.
No, that's going to be a movie. That's going to be something down the road. Honestly, you know, you said you were... I mean, we're excited for Daredevil. Don't get
us
wrong.
Yeah, I am.
This a.k.a. Jessica Jones is looking to be a powerhouse of people involved.
The casting is really good. I mean, really excited for it.
I love Carrie Ann Moss. I mean, she was great as Trinity, don't get me wrong. But she had that appearance in Chuck that was a lot of fun.
Yep.
And I think she's just a great personality to have on the screen. So I'm very excited to see who she'll be end up playing, which I think they're going to, you know, not reveal for a little while.
Right, right. There was also a big toy news. I'm sure you guys have seen it. The Lego Helicarrier was unveiled.
My wallet screamed. I cried a little because I want it so much.
I can't justify the cost.
No, I can't justify it either.
It's like $350, right?
It's $350. It's like almost 3,000 pieces, so I completely understand the price.
Yeah, no, it's not unreasonable.
I mean, the price of plastic is insane, so whatever.
But it looks amazing. It's gigantic. It comes with mini Quinjets.
I think it's almost 3 feet long.
Yeah.
And a couple... wide, and then, yeah, it comes with minifigures of sort of the core cast of Avengers.
The entire Avengers, yeah.
And then it comes with micro figures,
yeah,
which are actually in scale with the helicarrier, so you can have them on the runway. And also, the part of it opens up, and you actually get the kind of war room. So,
right.
You know, where Nick Fury has where he stands with all the little screens and stuff is in there as well. So you can have the micro figures there. It's an awesome looking thing.
Yeah, it really is.
And I would love to have it just to, in my house.
If you have the means.
Yeah, if you have the means, I suggest buying it. I know. Well, here's the thing. I know Lego people.
Yeah.
I know they are dedicated.
And people made of Lego?
Yes, okay. Of course. People made of Lego, they exist. They walk around.
Sure.
Or maybe this is just in my head. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
No, and
call the police.
they're coming to get us. No, and I know people won't balk at this price. I know it'll sell out.
Oh, it's going to sell out. Yeah.
I mean, the Death Star went crazy. The Star Destroyer, I know, went really, really fast. So people out there who are Lego aficionados, and I know them, there's a large group of them dedicated. This will sell.
Yeah.
I wish I was one of those people that had the disposable income for it, because it is a glorious piece.
It looks very cool. Two bits of gaming here. One is that there's a Tumblr a guy's been doing called Out of Context D&D Quotes.
Which, I hadn't seen this, so.
Okay. So basically it's taking quotes from the gaming table.
Right.
Which you've probably seen on like Twitter and then.
Of course.
You know, Ari Marmel, who's a game writer, has posted a few. And they put it over classic like either D&D or Pathfinder art. And for example, Dire Halfling, it's the size of a man. Wait. Or, I hope you like all natural girls because I haven't bathed in years. They're doing Valentine's, and that's one of their Valentines.
Nice.
Is this really the best time to try and appraise the lion? Welcome back, we're making deals with Satan's. All of this, and they put it over art from Pathfinder and D&D. It's a great Tumblr to follow. It cracks me up. And I found that this week.
Well, there's some great quotes you can get out of a gaming experience.
And then on the other side of things, the more serious side, Dungeons & Dragons unveiled a new feature on their website that's called Unearthed Arcana, which is going to be sort of rules testing and you know, add-on rules. And they have unveiled a short, maybe 2 to 3 page PDF that has all the rules for converting your Eberron game to 5th edition.
Oh, wow.
So Eberron is one of my favorite worlds, and I've been wanting to get back to that campaign, so this may speed my return to it a little bit.
Are you going
to
bring back your...
My Wandering Wolves campaign has gone through now 3 editions, because it started as 3.5, then went through 4th, and now we'll be going to 5th.
Wow.
Yep.
I haven't seen that campaign in a while.
Yep, so that'll be fun. All right. That about covers our news and intro, and we'll be back in just a few seconds with our big old Comics Week discussion. We are talking about comics for Wednesday, February 4th, and wow, this is a good week for comics.
It is. Like we said before, I mean...
How many comics did you read this week, Nick?
There are a total of 19 in my pile right now.
Yep.
I don't know if all those will get read, but I'm going to make a point to do it tonight.
Yep.
I've already read some.
And I've read a few, not as many as I would have liked, but I'm looking forward to digging in later tonight. So, Nick, what is your spotlight book this week?
Are we just going to do the traditional format of just the one, and then we'll talk about some other ones?
Yeah.
All right. Well, my spotlight has to be... The Nameless, or Nameless as it's called.
Wait, you read a Grant Morrison book?
I know, it's shocking, isn't it? This is Grant Morrison doing... I mean, the best way to put it is sci-fi horror.
Yeah, it's Dead Space-ish.
Yeah, Dead Space-ish. Art by Chris Burnham. So, you know, it's pretty much Grant Morrison.
It's pretty out there.
It's pretty out there.
Although, it's still more approachable than, say, Jonathan Hickman's weirder stuff, I think.
Right. Because, I mean, essentially, the first few pages are kind of Grant Morrison, unfiltered insanity.
Yeah.
But it's meant to be. And then by the end of it, there is a sort of more cohesive aspect to it.
Right.
But it is kind of creepy. It's not as horror as I was expecting.
No, it's actually more sci-fi.
It's more sci-fi than I Because I remember reading an interview with him saying, oh, I'm going to do straight up horror and do all that. And it's like, this is kind of a little, it's horror, but it's more off the beaten sci-fi stuff than I was expecting.
Yeah.
And it's really, really fun, though. And
the art is gorgeous.
I remember when Chris Burnham first showed up, as far for me at least, with Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
And I think he's only gotten better.
Yeah, his stuff here is really amazing.
And the colors by Nathan Fairbairn, chooses some amazingly bright, poppy colors to sort of pepper throughout this sort of dark scenery. And there's just some really evocative imagery.
You want to take a shot at saying what it's about?
Sure. I mean, basically, the world is being invaded by a sentient asteroid.
Right.
And that's kind of its thing. And it focuses on a single character named the Nameless.
Yep.
And he is a man who knows how to do certain things. And he is...
There's almost a bit of an Inception vibe to some of it.
A little bit. A little bit of an Inception vibe. And really just this character is contracted to do something. I don't really want to get too much into it because I don't want to give a lot of it away.
Right, right.
But it's sort of just following him as he sort of deals with this possible invasion.
Right.
And, yeah, it is very trippy, and it's Grant Morrison, so if you like Grant Morrison, it's one sort of to look out for, but if you don't like Grant Morrison, I do think you're right. It is very approachable, and it's not super hard to get into.
Yeah, it's definitely trippy, but it's not... The Invisibles.
It's not The Invisibles. and I think that comes with a lot of his stuff. People are a little afraid to try it because they don't want to be, like, I don't know.
They don't want their mind to melt.
Well, right, they don't want their mind
to melt. They don't want us hallucinating.
But I think, with Morrison, it comes to the point where he's hard to get into. I think it's become the
They don't
the
want to use his Scottish wizardry on them.
That's also true. but I honestly think this is very approachable.
And there's no Scottish wizardry. Actually, there may literally be Scottish wizardry in this book. I'm sorry. But it's not being applied to the reader. I don't think.
You never know with Morrison.
That's true.
Maybe mixed into these word balloons are Scottish wizardry upon us.
What's weird is it actually reminds me a little bit of Warren Ellis' stuff, especially his planetary and his sort of sci-fi.
I got that vibe when I was reading it. And definitely the sci-fi element makes me think of Ellis. And I don't know, how their relationship is. But
I don't know.
Who knows? Anyways, I really, really enjoyed it. No shock.
Yeah.
What do you have, Randy?
Mine was kind of a surprise. I don't read a lot of Boom books. I've always liked what I read, but nothing like jumps out at me. But they have a new book this week called Cluster that is by a writer named Ed Brisson, who has written some other stuff for them. I can't call it to mind off the top of my head. Artist by a guy named Damian Cachero, whose work I don't necessarily remember. Nope. And the colors by Michael Garland. These are all new names to me. Brisson's definitely written something else for them. I don't remember what it was. But it is about it's a science fiction story about a world where people get, if they get a life sentence for something, they go out into space and fight for Earth in the army against an alien invaders, and their sentence is cut to 15 years instead, if they survive. So it's this mix of sort of prison planet, aliens, Starship Troopers... Really beautiful art, really interesting sort of character work. They're definitely doing the dropped into the middle of a hardcore boot camp kind of thing.
And I assume this issue is told through one character's eyes.
Yeah, there's a character who's sort of semi-famous. She had sort of it opens with sort of something terrible happening that she gets arrested for, like a drunken driving accident that turns to a death. And there's hints that she's somewhat famous, and she befriends someone else in the prison, and there's like a drill sergeant who's trying to talk them into doing things, and the end of the issue I won't give away, but there's something that happens that sort of gives it a much more of an urgency to it.
Right.
And I really liked this. I thought this was a really fun sci-fi first issue. I'm looking forward to where they go from here.
Well, I was very taken with the cover because it is done by artist James Stokoe.
Yep.
And if you know Stokoe, his artwork is very intricate and insane. And I was like, that's a Stokoe cover. Definitely on my radar. It looked great.
Yep. There's also a couple of second issues this week, some notable ones.
I don't know if notable. Is that the one in your hand?
Kind of notable. So Star Wars number 2 hits this week. And we all really like number 1.
Yep.
And Nick has read number two. I have not had a chance yet, yes. But it looks great.
Yes.
And you liked it, right?
Yeah. No, it's more of the same. More action a little bit than the first one. But the story continues. The continuing notion that each character gets their moment continues.
Cool.
So, I mean...
And I don't think it's a spoiler anymore to say Darth Vader's in it.
That's true.
It's given these on the cover.
No, man, the cover is sort of indicative of what the characters are up against, and it is very, very interesting. There are some turns that I'm going to see how they play out. So,
yeah. Also, that brings up, there's a lot of second printings this week.
We
have Star Wars number one back in stock. We have Thanos versus Hulk number one back in stock. Thor number one. There's Ant-Man number one, because Ant-Man number two is also in this week. And Deathstroke number one is a new printing. So lots of stuff. If you missed, we have some new printings this week. But Ant-Man number two is another number two that's out this week.
Right.
And we really like number one. I really like number one.
I liked it.
You have some trouble with Nick Spencer's snarkiness.
A little bit at times. He's a little cynical than I would prefer. But, you know... I did get a few laughs, and there were some really great story elements. I loved some of the stuff that he did in the first issue.
I really liked it, and all I can tell you from the first page of this is that he's fighting Grizzly, which is great. I've not read it yet, but I'm very much looking forward to the second issue of Ant-Man. I think that it's funny how the character has had sort of a renaissance because of the movie that's coming up, and they're really putting some weight behind him, and you've seen that he can be kind of cool. And I thought that was what they did the first issue. And hopefully the second issue will continue that trend.
I like the new logo. I really have to say.
Yeah, yeah.
With the little ants trailing down.
Also, we noticed that the first printing is called the Sec Ant Printing.
Right.
You know.
But the variant for this week is not called Variant.
Not called Variant, which it should have been.
It really should have.
Then there's Unbeatable Squirrel Girl number two, which I believe Dave had not read when we did the podcast last time, and then fell completely in love with it. And I also love this book.
Well, it's one of those things where... It's a book that sounds a little cheesy at times.
Yeah.
And it's just the heart that it has. I say, even if you're not sure, it's one of those books you should try.
Yeah.
Because it's really just fun.
It's really funny. It's really clever. And it's in that same vein as stuff like Lumberjanes and Miss Marvel and sort of being a fun and lighthearted book.
There is a quote on the cover of the second one by Amazing Spider-Man writer Dan Slott. Says, I can't recommend the Squirrel Girl book enough. It's nuts.
Yes.
And, you know, it's a little play on words, but it actually is, and it's fun. It really is that kind of humor. And I think we all the managers here say, try it.
Yeah, yeah. And Birthright, first arc comes to an end this week.
Right. Its fifth issue comes out. And
it was such a great ending. I mean, I think our appreciation for this book has just been growing as it goes on.
It is.
The more it goes on, the more you see there's a lot to this book. And if you haven't read it, I think we've still got all four issues of the first arc.
I think so.
And if not, there's going to be a nice $10 trade coming down the pike in a little bit.
And it's going to be one to check out.
Yeah, man, it's such a good book. And the fifth issue this week is so good. Marvel has a new crossover this week.
Yes, if you are a fan of both All New X-Men, Guardians of the Galaxy.
And related Star-Lord.
And related Star-Lord. The new miniseries Black Vortex comes out.
So you've read this. What's the basic idea behind it?
It's sort of...
The Black Vortex is a thing?
Yes, it is a thing. It looks like to be created by the Celestials.
Okay.
At some point in time.
Yep.
And about a race of beings sort of imbued with its power that are after Peter Quill. For some reason.
Sure.
They've imbued into the Slaughter Lords. So if you've been reading...
That doesn't sound good.
No, it really doesn't. If you've been reading Legendary Star-Lord, they have been trying to attack and capture Peter Quill for a little while, and they've gotten a power.
Yeah, you don't get alongside of anybody called the Slaughter Lords.
No, that seems to be a name that you probably wouldn't like.
So but this is Black Vortex Alpha.
Yes, and it's written by Sam Humphries and... Forget the other person. I guess Sam Humphries is the writer, and then Ed McGuinness is doing pencils, and Chris Kunkka is doing pencils.
Oh, okay. So that's nice.
It's sort of a collection of some really great talented Marvel. And if you have any interest in either of those properties, are sort of the...
See also that Nova is going to be in it.
Yeah, Nova's in there.
I think it's going to cross over to Cyclops, maybe?
Yep, and...
So it's sort of
pretty much everything.
It's sort of crossing over some of the mutant universe and some of the sci-fi universe a little bit.
Yep.
So, So yeah, that's, and this week is the one shot sort of kicks all that off.
Cosmo's in it as well.
Nice. There is also the third issue of Hellboy and the BPRD, 1952, which is his first case as an agent,
yep,
which I have been really enjoying. Alex Maleev's art on that is really, really great.
Yep.
And it's kind of fun to see him operating with more of a, you know, Hellboy's the only sort of special operative. Everybody else is fairly normal people.
But I kind of like seeing Hellboy being a little bit, he's not the... Sure, on a
he's not to run in and punch people with his big right hand.
He's
yet.
Not quite sure, yeah, what to do. Yeah. And I kind of like that notion because he is young and he screws up.
Yeah,
and
I like cool. it too. Also, Hawkeye number 21 this week, which is we're closing in on the end of Fraction and Aja's run. There's been some delays related to, I believe, personal stuff with the artist.
Yep.
And that's too bad, but this is the bringing the tracksuit mafia story and then the story itself to a close. And I'm looking forward to seeing where he goes with this. I feel like when it's all collected, we'll probably wind up loving it more. But
right.
But I've been really enjoying it. Then Ms. Marvel is this week.
Yes, Ms. Marvel, which, you know, sees her continue to go up against what is the is it Edison?
He's called the something. Yeah,
it's the bird guy. I can't remember his name, and that's horrible of me because I should. But it's continuing that story. Adrian Alfano is back on art, and I love the cover. The cover is so much fun.
Yeah.
Her just sitting on top of her house eating a cupcake. And, yep. You know, I said it before, we need more covers with our heroes eating various foods.
I agree. Yeah, no, I've been really enjoying this book, and I'm looking forward to reading the next one. Another book I know we're both enjoying is The Punisher. Number 15 hits this week.
Oh, man. This is
more of him versus Howling Commandos?
I hope so, because yep. that's what it was boiling down to. And yep. I think I just seeing them, because they're both formidable people,
yeah.
groups going up against each other. And I'm excited to read this. This is going right on the top of my pile, because I want the Howling Commandos to get their own book.
I kind of do, too. I love doing Howling Commandos.
Maybe not their own book, but a
miniseries. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Commando Secret Wars.
Come sure, on. Why not?
Have that happen, Marvel.
Nick, your next book is about One Bad Mother.
It is. Shaft number 3 comes out this week.
We were disappointed that a lot of people didn't pick up Shaft number 2.
We were, because...
This is one of my favorite books of the year so far.
Do you think if they called it Shaftier 1, people would have taken more notice?
I don't think that people know what to expect from... I certainly didn't know what to expect from Shaft.
No, I certainly didn't.
It's a crime book. It reads more like Criminal. I think Brubaker fans would like this book a lot.
Yeah, if you love Criminal, or, you know, want that vibe in another comic, just... I mean, Shaft is that book.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is not an over-the-top exploitation thing. It's definitely not.
It's
not
real.
Played for laughs. It is a gritty 70s crime drama, and I'm really, really enjoying it. This is definitely one of my favorite reads. So we still have issues 1 and 2. Give it a shot. It's got really, really nice art by Bilquis Elvli.
Yeah, he is phenomenal.
And it reminds me a lot of sort of a Garth Ennis, Steve Dillon kind of production.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good stuff, and people should check that out. Also back this week, Saga, after one of their long breaks, comes back for their fifth story arc with issue 25, the big old wraparound cover, and a seal with an axe on the cover.
And, you know, I'm always about books with seals with axes.
Yep. I am very much looking forward to digging back into Saga. I went out to San Francisco and met Brian Vaughn.
Yeah.
And I got my Saga hardcover signed, so I'm in Saga mode. I'm ready for more of that story.
And this is basically, if you pick up the fourth trade, this is the directly follow.
This picks up right after, so you can pick up that trade and then go right into Saga after that.
Nice.
And it will be monthly for these 6 months.
6 months.
They do monthly issues during the story arc.
That's a really smart break.
I do too.
Because you want Fiona Staples. She's really, you know... She's one of the heart and soul of this book.
Yeah.
And without her, it wouldn't feel right if they'd gotten a fill-in artist or something. So that really does... It's very smart of them.
Right, right. What else is on your stack?
Avengers. And if this cover... If you look at it and you're like, this looks familiar, that is because it's the cover to Ultimates number 1.
Yep.
And that is a point where this issue is actually touching on the Ultimate Universe and... How it's going to play into Time Runs Out.
Which makes sense, because knowing what we know about Secret Wars now...
Yep, it's definitely... This has, like, Miles Morales and the FF or whatever is left of the FF. I can't remember sort of...
Yeah, there's some weird stuff that's happened in the Ultimate Universe. Yeah,
but I'm very interested in reading it just to see how... I think my interest in Secret Wars is kind of ratcheting up with every...
I'm looking forward to it.
All the announcements they've made and sort of the things they've put out there has really captured my interest. Yep. So I'm excited. I guess we only have 3 more months and then time will run out.
Yes, yeah.
What else you got?
Okay, the only thing left on my stack, I've got 2 other Image books, actually. One is the newest issue of Velvet.
Right.
Which is a Edward Bigger spy thriller, which is always great. And the 4th issue of Witches by Scott Snyder and Jock, which is creepy and effective and scary and awesome and definitely worth a read if you like horror comics at all.
Right. I have a new number 1 on my pile, which is all-new Captain America Fear Him, which...
And I'm guessing ties into his Axis flip, mind flip thing, but I don't know.
So, this one is a little bit of a unknown to me, but it looks like, on the first page, it looks like Scarecrow is involved.
Oh, okay.
So, if this may be, like, Sam Wilson versus Scarecrow, that could be kind of fun.
Sure.
Not the DC version.
No, Marvel Scarecrow has a pitchfork.
Yes, Marvel Scarecrow.
But he also uses fear gas, right?
He does.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, but it also is dealing with Nomad and Wilson. And I don't know. It's written by Dennis Hopeless, who wrote the Avengers.
Avengers Undercover. Yeah.
Which I've enjoyed. And art by Simon Kurdensky. I'm butchering that, I'm sure.
Or something like that.
Yes. And also, it's Rick Remender is involved as well, so it should coincide well with the ongoing series.
Cool.
Next is my favorite book of last year, pretty much. East of West sees its 17th issue.
Yep.
Really, really enjoying this. Basically seeing how the different aspects of the world are coming to destroy each other. Django Zorro sees its 3rd issue. The 2nd issue I really, really enjoyed. This one looks like it gets sort of back to the action and sees how the heroes meet the villain. So I'm actually really enjoying the story. It feels very much in that Django world. So
right.
With especially being written by Quentin Tarantino and Matt Wagner.
Yeah.
And the art by Steve Poles. Very, very nice. If you want to get your spy on, I would definitely say the newest issue of Grayson is out and highly recommend. I know Dave is...
If Dave were here, he was going to talk it up last week. He didn't have time, but and he's not here this week. But Dave just got on board Grayson and has been really enjoying it, and I need to catch up on it.
It is, and it's weird because I never would have thought, you know, Dick Grayson as a prolonged series of him being a spy and not Nightwing would necessarily work. But it is really doing interesting things with him undercover in the organization of Spiral, if you read anything of Grant Morrison's Batman series. That was the big sort of spy organization. And having him sort of being a double agent under them, working for Batman, is very, very cool. It leads to some great things.
Also, it's got a really nice alternate cover this week by Dan Panosian, one of the Harley Quinn variant covers.
Yep.
And there are a few of those this week. That's their theme this month. Yeah, you know, DC Harley does these alternate covers. And so some of the comics this week, like Green Lantern and some of the other DC ones.
If you ever
ones,
wanted to see Hal Jordan in a roller derby costume.
And who didn't? there's a lot of Harley Quinn variant covers this month, so you can look for them. And generally, if you happen to want them, I think we can order most of them.
Right. And I only have 2 more books. They're both Marvel. The newest issue of Wolverines, which I've actually been really enjoying. The weekly series. I think it's some... Throwing the limelight at some of the smaller characters that, you know, we get to see a few, sort of like what DC did with 52 years ago. We don't see usually books, you know, portraying X-23 all that much anymore. And some new characters that hopefully will stick around. Who knows if it will. And then Marvel, the last one is Operation Sin, the sort of spy Peggy Carter book that sees her teaming up with Howard Stark, dealing with, you know, technology and Russian spies.
That's a lot of books.
It is a ton of books. I'm sure I forgot a few, because I actually, there were a couple on your list that I'm like, oh, I meant to grab that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's one of those weeks.
Yeah. So, good week of stuff. Hopefully see you guys in the store. And we're going to pass on a topic this week. We're just going to wrap up a little early since there was so much comic stock, and also since Dave is on vacation, that's one third less voices.
Yeah, it's true.
So we will be back next week, and until that time, Yo Joe! And that'll wrap it up for us this week. As always, you can drop us email with topic suggestions, things you want us to hear about, or just comments on the podcast at roguesgallerytx@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at roguesgallery. Check us out on Facebook. Check out our website at www.roguesgallerytx.com.
Check us out on Instagram at roguesgallerytx.
And if you want to help us out, go over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating and a little review. We'd very much appreciate it. And we will be back next week.